Hi, welcome to Restoratively Yours, Belvedere Youth Club podcast series about restorative practice. I am Jenny Courtney, BYC's General Manager. We are a youth club based in Dublin in our city, and in 2019, we embarked on a journey to become a restorative hub in the community. Restorative practice, RP in short, is a philosophy and a set of practices focusing on building and maintaining good relationships and dealing with conflict in a healthy way when it occurs. For us, it has become the way we want to do everything. In this series, you will hear our story, the ups and the downs of our journey through different voices. Dorothy, our RP consultant, will guide you along the way. We hope it will be inspiring and enlightening.
Hello, in this episode we tried to unpack the connection between the principles of youth work and restorative practice. You'll hear Jonathan, youth team lead, explaining how youth work values align with RP and the impact RP had on one-to-one relationships and power dynamics. Then Jamie, assistant youth worker, and Denise, youth worker, will share their take on this topic.
So the principles of youth work are empowerment, equality, respect, participation. So very, very similar to the values of restorative practice. And there's a lot of crossover there, you know. I believe the challenge for Belvedere Youth Club in relation to restorative practice was the unknown subconscious of what restorative practice was. But when you look at restorative practice and youth work, they actually go very, very similar hand in hand. There's a lot of similarities with subtle differences, you know. So the subtle difference would be that in youth work, we would generally build relationships with young people and it'd be a broad relationship with a group of young people. Whereas with restorative practice, it might be focused more on individual relationships, you know, and then creating relationships for young people to address issues among themselves. Whereas youth work would be a collective, more common issue to address, you know. In youth work, it's more general working with groups and supporting groups and helping groups. Whereas you do individual work with young people. However, there's not a scope there through funding streams to allow you to do that, you know. I believe youth work should be more tailored towards one-on-one to complement the groups and vice versa. However, the structures and frameworks do not allow specific one-to-one work. They're looking for more quantity with quality rather than just quality, you know. So, for example, a lot of the funding through Dublin inner city projects or Dublin city projects is UBU. So it comes through CDYSB, which is City of Dublin Youth Service Board. And UBU is your space, your place. And what UBU tries to do is target a number of young people in a catchment area. For example, Belvedere Youth Club would target 52 young people and he'd break them into different categories. 25 would be young people who need to maybe get involved in various different programs to keep them out of trouble. And then 27 of them young people would be engagement, just basically engaging with them and creating avenues for them to go into something that's a bit more positive rather than what they're doing in the area. So that's a focus from UBU. And predominantly all the projects in the Northern City in particular, but in Dublin are UBU funded. So they have a criteria where they have to follow, you know. So it doesn't really allow for one-to-one support work. That happens on a minimal basis, but not as much as maybe it could be. If there is a youth justice project, that's more focused on the needs of the individual. Whereas in youth work, what you generally do is it'd be a needs-based, but you'd have a collective issue and you bring it together and you create a space where young people are being informed or young people have an opportunity to be informed about how they can go about changing that. And then if you take the youth service away, the young people are to be empowered to be able to lead that themselves. Whereas the individual work in Clare, a lot of that happens in the city, up in the Hay project in particular. What they do is they focus on supporting the individual because that individual would have maybe got a JLO or the individual would have had trouble with the police. So it's individualised and not collective, you know. So we was talking about the more reactive restorative piece. So for example, you'd have a group of young people in the sports hall and say, I'll use names here. So you have Dorothy, Jonathan and all our friends in the sports hall and Dorothy and Jonathan have an issue. Then we might have a conversation with Dorothy and Jonathan in a circle at a later stage, you know what I mean? So it's more about how Dorothy feels, how Jonathan feels and sharing that space. Whereas I don't believe you take the whole lot of everybody in the sports hall into that space. You might do that at a later stage, but not initially, you know? But again, I'm open to be saying, no, maybe we should be taking them all into that space. When we can bring the groups in, and we predominantly do a check-in with the groups, if Dorothy turns around and says, I'm a 2 today, and maybe highlights that, listen, I didn't have a good day, then the youth worker will be aware of that. So when we're in the sports hall, the youth worker will be paying more attention to that particular young person, and the colleagues might be able to help that young person out. So you'd be progressive in sort of thinking that, okay, something might happen here, I might spike, and you might check in with that young person throughout the day. But essentially, if that young person maybe lets themselves down, or if the youth worker lets themselves down, then it has to be a conversation at a different point with that young person, you know, to try and create a space to further delve into the opening circle, you know. So I'll give you a bit of an analysis going back. So we would have initially come into Belvedere Youth Club, and before I engaged in restorative practice, and I would have looked at a healthy relationship as in the youth worker working with the young person, and the young person nearly doing what the youth worker asks, okay? But nowadays, with restorative practice in mind as well, a healthy relationship is where the young person has not equal power, because obviously it's dynamic there, but a lot more power, whereas they have a decision, they have a voice, and young people know and understand they had a voice. For example, in youth work, a lot of the times, we could ask young people to come into a room and sing a song, totally out of comfort zone, and the relationship with the young person is that they value it so much that they nearly do it. But I think a real healthy relationship is where the young person says, I'm not comfortable doing that, John. I don't want to do that. And then it's respected both sides. I'll give you a good example of that. A couple of years ago, I had a young person who I basically got a work experience for him, but I mentioned this to you before, and he went to that work experience, but he didn't enjoy that work experience. But he stuck out that work experience simply because he had a relationship and he thought that's what he needed to do. So when I had a conversation at a later stage, it turns out after day one, he didn't really like it. So then when he went to he did another placement that I sourced for him, that we sourced together, and he went to placement. But after the first day, he left the placement. But the difference was, I believe he felt ashamed and didn't come back to the youth service. But it wasn't until a few months later that I actually bumped into him on the street, had a conversation, and he realised, no, I can actually tell John that this is not what I want to do. And then that to me is a healthy relationship. A young person basically has a voice that's listened to, respected, and can tell you work or no. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, people think a healthy relationship would be the young person do anything I want them to do. In a way that the youth worker is believing that this is okay because I'm helping this young person, you know. But sometimes you're not helping the young person. You're further oppressing them, you know. I remember having a group probably about 18 months ago, and I sat down with the group and I said, okay, lads, who has the power in this room, right? And everybody in that group said, me and my colleague, right? We have all the power. So I turned around and said, what happens if you don't come into the building? Who has the power then? Who chooses not to come into the building? So that really resonated with them, and they started saying, no, hang on a minute, we do have a bit of power here. Do you know what I mean? So having the power, but having responsibility with that power is vital. You're not going to not just come into the building because you want to hold power, but maybe you're not coming into the building because you want to have a voice that goes beyond the tokenistic voice. So when you start to create a space where young people are informed and have a bit of knowledge, you as an adult, you as a paid worker, is always going to have that power in a certain level. But if you can equalise or bring the young people up to a certain level, I don't believe you'll ever get 50-50, but if you get it close enough to you, the young person is empowered and informed, you know. We're talking about nearly a paradigm shift. And what I mean by that is that in times gone past, we used to have a thing called the boomerang. Do you know a boomerang that you throw and it comes back? So if a young person does something in the sports hall or something, we send them home. So all the power with the youth, you go home, don't come back here, bring your mother back here. Restorative practice create a space where it equalises for the young person, whereas the young person gets an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation. But what's really important is the framework was very ad hoc with youth work, as in if a young person basically let herself down, I'm going to say, in the service, a youth worker would either send them home, or if they had a relationship, they'd have an ad hoc conversation. This now gives us a definite framework to create a space for the young person where they can have an equal conversation with the questions and if they follow the questions. So that's a real big sort of paradigm shift for me. For example, if we have a great relationship with Dorothy and I have a negative relationship with Dean, who are two young people in the service, if Dorothy is upstairs and she lashes out at another young person, then what I might do is I have a relationship with you. I'd go over to you and speak to you and say, I understand, Dorothy, you might be having a bad day, and there'd be a softy approach. Whereas with Dean, I'd say, you can't do that, get out of the service. So I was totally power with the youth worker. But it was down to the youth worker's discretion. I believe with restorative practice now creates a space where the young person had been more heard in them spaces. I'm not saying the young people weren't being heard before, but it was solely down to the discretion of the youth worker. For me, the big thing was that I had a framework in youth work, but this gave me a platform, I believe. Restorative practice gave me a platform to use that framework. So in youth work, it's all about your approaches. So it's the approach you take. So I believe in youth work, with my principles and practice, I take a restorative practice approach. you know, and that really helps me to do the work that I'm doing. And I'm still meeting the values of youth work, even though they go hand in hand with the values of restorative practice. Before, I might have been saying, well, this doesn't fit in with this. Where does the young person fit in? How will I do this? So again, me learning as a youth worker, you know. So but I believe the biggest challenge was, and this is the sole challenge, I talked about disarming youth workers before, right? And disarming is not the great terminology, but I mean basically taking the power away. A lot of times the youth worker would be working with a group, and if a young person was sort of so problematic that it was disrupting the whole group, the youth worker might have taken the option to take the young person out and ask the young person to go home and maybe cool off. But there wasn't a process to maybe reintegrate or support that young person. Whereas now what I think happens is when the young person is problematic, the staff are finding it challenging to maybe isolate that situation and have a conversation because the emotions are running high. So the staff don't fully maybe comprehend, what do we do in that situation, you know? So it's about grasping that and understanding that. For me, what I do is if I did a check-in and I notice the young person is really low with the energy level, I would pay particular attention to that young person, try and be progressive so that when they do spike, I can pull them to the side and have a conversation. But that's Jonathan with a number of experience in youth work and restorative practice. So I think it's about growing and developing that. So the biggest challenge, I believe, is the disarming the youth work and taking the power away. Well, I definitely did, and I changed it in all the practice. So, for example, I used to do supervision, I still do supervision, but my supervision would have been a little bit more clinical before the introduction of restorative practice. So I would have looked at the task, the process, and the tools. Okay, so the task is what we want to do, the process is how we're going to do it, and the tools is what resources do we have. Now, when I go into the supervision, I start off with checking in with the person. How are you? What's going on for you? How can I support you? So that has changed that dramatically, I would say, in relation to supervision. But also in relation to what we would have done was, I would have nearly been the advocate for the staff, whereas I take their voice and bring it to the management team. Okay, but since I'm... Since we started practicing, come on board, I'm now sitting and I'm working with the team and I'm letting the team take these to the management, you know. So I'm creating a space to empower where they're being heard, being listened to. And so, for example, if we took, you talked about power then, you're spot on, Dorothy. So if we took what the staff are saying right to the management team, the management and I'm bringing back answers, it's nearly like it's being diluted through Jonathan going to the management and coming back with an answer. So they weren't maybe very happy with the process. But what I'm doing now is creating a platform, whereas we are taking it to the management team as a collective, you know. So that's the big difference. So we had the power, as in I could have diluted everything they said, brought it to the management team, and whatever Jonathan's thinking is brought it back, you know. Whereas I'm taking myself out of that situation now, creating a platform where they can see the clear and obvious process and they're taking these definite solutions or criteria to the management, you know. Yeah. That's one way of looking at it. And then also with the management team, a lot of the times I would have looked at the management team insofar as you look at the qualifications and the roles you do. So Jillian, for example, would look after finance, and Jenny would be running the place, obviously business orientated, and the two of them are very valuable in what you do. I would have been coming in and saying, well, I'm a qualified youth worker here, I understand you, we're going to know what's going on here. So I would have maybe went to them and said, this is what we should do. Now I'm going to them and saying, okay, what can we do, you know? So I'm changing that with a restorative viewpoint. Do you know what I find very challenging though as well, and this is something that I think needs to be, I'm going to say led, because I'm going to take a terminology rather than manage, but I think when you sort of reduce power or you spread the power, you flatten the power, like what you said, is that with power comes responsibility. And if people don't have the capabilities or resources to be responsible with that power, you need to manage or lead that in a way. Do you know what I mean? So although you do want to create a fair process, you still have to be mindful of that, you know? And what's great? I'm very lucky that I'm studying while I'm practicing, right? And what I've noticed is, you talked about flattening the power, okay? The staff would say, this is great, flatten the power, as in, we'll come up to management level, right? But where the staff are resisting is, what about flattening the power with the young people and them? Do you know what I mean? So that when the staff are looking backwards, as in the young people having more power and have more responsibility, the staff are struggling with that because they feel disarmed, like what I mentioned. But then on the other hand, I say, no, yet the management should be down. Do you know what I mean? So they're looking, what I do obviously say is that sort of efficiencies drive deficiencies. So being more efficient with management and the youth work team is maybe driving deficiencies between the youth work team and the young people, you know? There's things like that, because I believe it's great the way if you're on the receiving end of receiving more power and someone else is being flattened out. But if that also means that you need to flatten out to give young people more power, then you're probably, your ideology of that is probably a little bit different, you know. So again, I'm learning through that, and it's a process. So what I'd like to do here is I'd like to break it into three strands. So I'll give you a conscious, a subconscious, and a practical. So before restorative practice came on board, youth work would have been nearly organized chaos. We're going to take everybody in. Look at us. We're great. We have the door open. We're fully inclusive. We're bringing everybody into the building, right? But what we are doing there was you're just creating chaos, whereas young people couldn't start to regulate themselves and didn't have a space to have even conversations. So too much was going on. That's one of the practical examples. So then we were setting young people up to fail, whereas young people are coming in. You have a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old. Miles away from each other, they were fighting with each other. The 12-year-old was basically being punished, I'm going to say thrown out, because they were maybe, because they couldn't sort of regulate themselves and understand. I'm a 7-year-old, there's a 12-year-old, and I'm fighting. So that's a practical example. A conscious example is that we basically we broke that down through consultation with the young people and created a space, whereas you're coming in from, you're a 7 to 9 year old, you come in together, you're a 10 to 12 year old, you come in together, you're a 13 to 15 and so on. So we created a space where we did that, and we created an opening circle for all the groups that come in, and we allowed young people to check in, we allow young people to take responsibility for that group. And then a subconscious is that we created a space for staff members to do more quality work with smaller groups, whereas they can learn through themselves as well, you know. So that's just the three strands.
Okay.
Well, that's my analysis of three strands, not that everybody's thinking the same.
I think there's more passion in it now than what there was years ago when I was a young person. All the staff have great relationships with the young people, where years ago it was probably a bit different. So I think now it's really, really good. Yeah, so years ago there would not be no sitting down and talking to youth workers and building relationships. All it was just coming in, playing football, playing pill, that was it. You were just let alone. But now we actually engage very well with the young people. We sit down with them, we talk to them if they have anything going on at home, if they have anything going on outside. And we try and help them. They come to us just to have chats. So it's really, really good.
To me, the foundation of youth work is that has volunteer participation. That we can have all of the different activities here for the young people on offer to the young people. Even the drama, like the audition for the drama, they put their name down for it, like freely. You know what I mean? It was advertised to them that we were going to put on a drama, but the young people want to take part in that themselves. So we have to respect their decision that they want to take part in it. And then throughout the rehearsals, we have to respect each other throughout the rehearsals and the process of it. And that is all, like, while we're working in Belvedere Youth Club, we as youth workers who are on the arts team, we have volunteered to be part of the drama. So while, yes, it's our role as youth workers in Belvedere Youth Club, it's not a role specifically for any specific task or any specific project that's in the youth club. So I think that kind of, as well, like collaboration, that's part of the RP. Again, empowerment, group responsibility, engagement. Like, they all run hand in hand, I think, with any of the tasks that we're doing here. Obviously, engage with the children or the young people throughout the day. The young people engage with us. But where the RP comes in, I suppose, or ties into it, is that it's respectful engagement. Like, that they're respectful of us and that we're respectful of them. And even if they're having a bad day, that we're respectful of their bad day, or that they're respectful of ours. Obviously, that we have to be more professional and we're adults, and that this is our, like, employment. So obviously we can't have too many bad days in front of the young people. But I suppose, again, that shows vulnerability to the young people when we do have a bad day, and we can express that to the young people. You know, like, I'm very tired today, or when you're doing your check-in or your check-out, you know, you could say that I'm a 2 or 3 today. Today is not a good day for me. Do you know what I mean? So it's in a more professional boundary that you're saying that you're having a bad day, but you're also showing vulnerability to young people. So I think, again, they kind of run hand in hand.
Thank you for listening to our podcast and stay tuned for our next episodes.